Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, a lady who is doing a whole bunch of good stuff here in the community is back at the table today, hopefully to enlighten you as to what's going on the other side of the tracks, which is affecting everything in this community. Her name is Courtney Denton. She is the board chair, the founder, extraordinaire, of the Lifehouse Shelters. Courtney, how are you doing, kiddo?
Well, I'm glad to be back. I feel like this is always a special time just for you and I to have a conversation about something that is near and dear to both of us, and so I'm glad to be with you, and I'm doing well.
Good. So, again, for those who have not heard about Lifehouse Shelters, give us the Cliff Notes version of how it started and what it's morphed into.
Sure. So we are relatively young. We are 34 months old.
Jeez, and
34 months, we have expanded to no Lifehouse Women's Shelter to now a Lifehouse Women's Shelter with three locations, two of which are on North Wilson Street, and one of our locations is housed within the Pathways Community Center building. We started this initiative because of a growing need of homeless women in our community who had nowhere to go.
Stop. I want you to tell them the story about what happened that triggered all of this.
Yeah.
And this is stuff that goes on every day.
Every day.
And people need to hear this. So
yes.
Go ahead and tell them.
So being a member of board member with Pathways Community Center, I was sitting in a board meeting, and for several months we had been hearing of women coming to Pathways, which is where they're supposed to come in our community, which is a great place for them to come to for intake. And the repeated pattern was that women were coming looking for shelter. And at this board meeting that we were at 3 years ago, a little shy of 3 years ago, we heard of two women who had come that week, which was a November week. It had gotten down to 25 degrees at night. We've seen that trend in the weather pattern for a few years now. One woman came without shoes. The other woman came with only the clothes on her back. And when they came to Pathways, they were desperate, literally freezing, and asking, where do we go? We cannot possibly stay out another night, for we are afraid that we will freeze to death. And as that story was told at our board meeting, and I heard what we had to offer these women, which at the time, 34 months ago, when these women came through the doors of Pathways, our solution as a community at the time was a pair of gloves, a pair of socks, a blanket, and a nearby bush. A bush.
Wow, wow.
That was what we were able to tell those women when they came looking for help. Not because we don't have other great service providers in our community doing amazing work, but because we did not have another service provider offering emergency beds for homeless women and children.
Now, most people would find it hard to believe that a woman would be homeless.
Right.
And I think the community has learned,
yes,
hey, wake up.
Yes. Which, to that point exactly, you know, 15 years ago, what we were seeing in our homeless patterns here in our community was about a 55-year-old male.
Right.
Now, 15 years later, our pattern in homelessness is a 55-year-old female. It's a very common occurrence that we see. And so you hear that these women were given this opportunity, I guess if that's what we can say, to have gloves, socks, and a blanket. But when I heard that the bush was the place for them to sleep that night, I just felt such a deep sense of conviction that this cannot be the best thing that we as a community in Rock Hill have to offer homeless women, and then, of course, their children as well. And so I was just gripped. I was so convicted in that meeting. I had thought about how I had slept in my own bed the night before, how I had not only a bed but warm covers. I thought about how I had heat running in my house. And I thought, you know, but for the grace of God,
go
there
I.
go I.
Yeah.
And we've got to come up with a solution to this. And so the next obvious question was, well, what do we do? What is our solution? And I was very honest to say, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but I'm willing to work towards a solution. And I believe in a community as significant as ours that we can come up with one.
And by golly, she's done just that. And we could take the next 2 hours to tell you every little detail as to how it came about. Well, you now have two shelters on
North
Wilson Street, which are more than shelters.
They're residential houses that allow for residential living. So our women are living in a house that feels like a home. We always joke and say, you know, this is not your forever home, but while you're here, we want you to feel at home. So these women are in a program. They're in a place in their life where they are really seeking help. I often tell those that we serve, you know, we cannot out-help you. We can only help you to the extent that you're willing to be helped. But these are houses that are helping women who want to be helped. And I cannot emphasize that enough. We are serving women in this community who look just like me. They're women who are working. They're women who have held careers. They're women who have been, you know, moms and even grandmothers. But they're just at a place in their life where they simply can't make ends meet. And so situationally, they're in need of help. So they come to us at this place, and really it's crisis, and we're able to help renew and rebuild and restore them back to being able to live sustainably in our community. So there's a program that we wrap around these women with case management to help them take steps forward.
And some of the graduating stories are just great. Mm-hmm. But the predicaments that have gotten these women where they are is stuff that happens every day.
Every day.
Divorce.
Yes.
Right? Loss of a loved one.
Yes.
Single parent, loss of a job.
Yes.
Because you've got kids involved here as well.
Caring for aging parents.
There you go.
That's a very common thing that we're helping is women who have been helping their family members only to get to a place where, you know, their family members have passed away and now they're not in a position to be helped. But they were the ones doing the helping. Women are helpers. We're nurturers. We're life givers. And so you think about all the ways that women are expending themselves to help others, and they get to a place sometimes where they're at a crossroad where who's here to help me?
Yeah.
And that's where we get to step in. And that's why we're called the Life House, because we're here to help offer life. And we're really helping to renew broken lives and to restore lives that have experienced loss in different ways.
All right. And the third leg of Life House is shelter.
That's right.
Which is?
The cottage at Pathways Community Center. It is our overflow location. We have 36 beds that are set up every single night in a secure environment with on-site security, access to laundry and showers there. And in that space of 36 beds, what we want to be able to say to our community on any given night is no matter what situation you're facing, you can show up, first come, first serve, and there's a bed for you. But if I'm honest, our overflow shelter is now maxed out every single night. As a matter of fact, we just had a call from a woman just before I came on the air, and she was asking if there would be space at the overflow. And last night we were at capacity. Several nights ago, we've had to turn one and two and three women away, even from the overflow. So we're serving between the cottage, the shelter, and the home about 60 women and 12 children every night. And sadly, that is not sufficient for the need. We have, are you ready for this, Manning? We have 75 women and 43 children on our wait list.
Say that again.
75 women and 43 children on our wait list right now. In addition to the ones that we're serving, we have more women and children now on our wait list than we're helping. And that is a very sad reality to me, yet it is a very real picture of what we are facing in our community.
Well, I don't want to become an angry middle-aged old man, whatever you want to call me, but it does just kind of grab me that government's role in this so far, local government's role in this, has been hardly anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how people in elected office who hear these stories aren't doing more and doing whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, just the security expense alone.
Yes.
We were totaling this up the other day.
Yes.
for Lifehouse, for Pathways, for Bethel.
Yes.
I mean, it's $500,000
exactly
a year.
Right. Yes.
$500,000 a year.
Just to keep these locations secure, ensuring
exactly
the safety of the women or the individuals served, as well as the neighborhood and the communities around them. There is you brought up the expense side of this mission, and that is it's a real situation. We have a monthly expense budget of about $50,000. And people say, well, what in the world? Why does it cost $50,000? A third of that is just our security cost.
Yep.
Another third of that is our personnel cost. We have to have staff to run the operation. And the other third is met in utilities and insurance and the overhead, as well as the client needs, transportation, things of that nature. And so when you're serving 60 women, of course, you know, there's a greater volume of that. But there is a real opportunity for our community. And I am so thankful when people ask, well, how are you supported? We're supported through individuals. We're supported through businesses. We're supported through churches and grants in this community. Those are the ones that are helping to make this mission possible. And when you think about being able to raise more than $2 million in the last 34 months, it's because of those individuals and businesses that have helped to make that happen.
Yeah, and I know I'm sounding critical, and I guess I am, and I'm not suggesting for a minute that the government take over this stuff. No,
right.
Not at all.
Right.
But they need to have a role in this,
yeah,
just like they have a role in everything else in the community.
Yes.
And maybe some point we'll get to there. I'm optimistic.
Yes. Well, and I am too. And I will say, you know, the city has come around the Lifehouse, and they have supported us in varying degrees of opportunities. We do receive a grant that's a community block grant that comes by way of the city. And most recently, kudos to the city of Rock Hill. They were gracious to donate to the Lifehouse a piece of property that is on the corner of McDowell and Charlotte. And we have a builder in town who for free, when does that happen, right?
Yeah.
For free. This story of the Lifehouse is God's story, and there's a lot of amazing pieces to this. But we have a builder in this community who has agreed to build for free our first transitional home on that corner lot. And so, you know, things are happening and opportunities are being made possible because of the generosity of our community. But I agree with you. There is certainly a place for the government to be a part of what we're doing. And I'm hopeful that we'll see more engagement.
Well, I think as our population continues to grow, so too is this issue.
Yes.
I mean, it's that certain percentage.
Yes.
It's always going to be there,
yep,
always in this situation.
Yep.
And with the growth rate that we have here in York County, yeah.
Well, and you mentioned that percentage. I think it's fair to say, you know, a lot of times what we see that is visible in homelessness really represents the 18% of the chronically homeless. They're certainly the more visible homeless. However, in our community, we serve 82% of the homeless population that is situationally homeless. And that goes back to what you and I were describing. Those are individuals who have been in a situation that has led kind of the dominoes start to fall into a place where they would have never imagined themselves having to pick up the phone to call to see if there's a shelter available, but they do.
Now, the data that you all have been able to accumulate, you and Bethel and I guess Pathways,
right,
shows that this myth that all the homeless people are from somewhere else is, in fact, a myth.
That's correct.
It shows you what?
It shows that about 90% of the overall individuals that we're serving through our service providers, Pathways Intake, the Lifehouse, Bethel, even the Haven, Pilgrims, and other entities in our community that are serving in the hunger and homelessness roles, 90% of the individuals that we're serving on average are right here from York County. 10% are coming from other places, but even the 10% that are coming from other places are likely coming from Chester, Lancaster, and Mecklenburg County. So that is a myth that I would love to be able to put an exclamation point to, and to help our community say and see that we have to be honest about what's happening here and not try to kind of turn our heads or close our eyes to a reality of the people that are in need of our help, that are actually people from this community who are helping to contribute to our community.
All right, when we come back from a mid-program break, we're going to talk about more of these highlights and numbers and what have you, and how you can help with a major opportunity that will benefit Lifehouse coming up right this weekend, I believe, right? And let's tell everybody, of course, you're listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, this lady has got a lot of history at this table. She knows what's coming up. It's all about fresh subs and salads. It's all about what we do here at Substation 2, 6 days a week. And how do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, the turkey and ham at Substation 2 seem really popular.
Absolutely. They're all natural meats, no nitrates or added ingredients, 98% fat-free, only the best turkey and ham for salads and subs.
Slice, 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 garden, 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 Substation 2, Jared Road across from Winthrop, now serving Diet Dr. Pepper.
Relax with a certificate from Founders Federal Credit Union and maximize your earnings. Whether you're saving for a down payment, planning for retirement, or simply growing your nest egg, Founders has great dividend rates. Get guaranteed returns and the security you deserve with terms from 12 to 84 months. Enable Dividend AMP to transfer your quarterly dividends into your Loyalty Select account, our highest yield savings account. Open a certificate today. Visit an office or foundersfcu.com to learn more or apply for membership. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Stream TV from Comporium is more than just TV. It's accessing all your favorite shows and movies. From here, in there, up there somewhere, here too, we won't tell. It's restarting shows mid-show. It's TV that learns the difference between what you like and what you love. It's what you want, when you want it, where you want it. So yeah, we're more than your internet company. We're your smart TV, just got a whole lot smarter company.
Emergency care close to home. The team at Piedmont Medical Center has the advanced training to handle your medical emergencies, and we're making it easier for you to access care every day. For non-life-threatening problems, online ER check-in is available at all our emergency room locations, meaning less waiting room time, more peace of mind. Simply visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com, pick a time you want to be seen, and then wait at home while we hold your place. For life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Slice, slice, slice! Yard, yard, yard!
It's the only way that Substation 2 makes fresh subs and salads. All their meats, cheeses, and vegetables are sliced fresh right before your eyes. It's no wonder people keep coming back to Substation 2.
Slice, slice, slice! Yard, yard, yard!
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Courtney Denton is with us, the founder extraordinaire, executive director, head honcho, whatever you want to call her, of Lifehouse Shelter, shall we call it? Yeah. You also have another job.
I do. I serve as the director of Mercy and Women's Ministries at Westminster Presbyterian Church.
And you have another job.
I do.
You're mom.
Yeah, I have several of those jobs. If we want to start going down that list, I'm a wife, I'm a mom,
okay.
I'm a community member, other board member. Yeah, okay. There are several hats that are worn.
All right. So you've got some highlights that you've brought with you that, you know, it's like John Geddes, our mayor, says. It's hard to deal with facts. Mm-hmm. Facts are facts.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on factually.
Yeah, well, I think it's just encouraging to share that as a result of our community coming around the Lifehouse, and because of the 34 months that we've been in operation, that I'm able to report to you today that we have helped to serve 383 different women in this community and 58 children. That's 383 different women who needed a bed to sleep in, that needed a hot meal, that needed access to laundry and shower, that needed fellowship, that needed support, needed encouragement, needed case management, and that we have met them in that place. And some of those women may stay for a few nights. Some may stay for a few weeks. Others of them may stay for several months, even up to 9 months to a year, to ensure that their transition from a shelter is into something that is sustainable. And so of that 383, we have actually helped place 33 women into housing. 33 women are now living sustainably in our community independently as a result of the mission of the Lifehouse. And that's what we're going to celebrate. We have an event coming up September the 24th. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's at the Kenneth Monroe Transformation Center on Saluda Street. It's from 3 to 4:30 p.m. But this event is one of the first events that we've done, and it's a celebration event. We are going to recognize and honor the 33 women who we have helped to transition. They're going to walk across the stage, receive a certificate of achievement. We're going to recognize the women that we're currently serving, and we're going to honor them and the efforts that they're making. We're going to recognize our board members and our volunteers, our community partners, and our donors who have helped to make the Lifehouse what it is. So beyond just the housing piece, we've also helped to ensure that women have access to physical, mental, and emotional health care. So that's a myriad of different types of referrals and services. We've helped women to get involved in taking part in counseling. We have had women who we've helped to start jobs, and we've had women who we've helped to maintain jobs. Job readiness looks a lot of different ways. So we've worked with workforce development partners and job readiness programs and in placing women and employment. We've helped women update their resumes. You know, the list really does go on and on.
Oh, yeah.
It's an organization that is helping to bring hope to women that oftentimes comes to us feeling hopeless. And when they stay with us just a little while and they experience security, stability, and safety, which are foundational values for all of us, it is unbelievable how you start to see their countenance change, how do you start to see their confidence change, how they really are getting their life back. So this event, we're opening up to the community to come and to be a part of a celebration that we really believe will showcase how God has been at work through the mission of the Lifehouse to make a difference in this community, and we have a lot to celebrate.
Good for you. Good for you. But let's not forget that you're already serving 60-plus women and kids. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, 75 more women and 43 more children
on the wait list.
Are on the waiting list. Mm-hmm. That's how profound the issue is.
Yes. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yes.
So this event coming up at the Kenneth Monroe Transformation Center, that's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. I'll say that a few times fast.
It's a Sunday afternoon.
Right.
What time?
3 to 4:30.
3 to 4:30.
And it is a dessert-type theme. We have several caterers that are joining with us that afternoon. There's going to be dessert and ice cream. Mm-hmm. So when you think about all the things that go into a celebration, dessert is a big part of that, right? And so the time together, what we always are after is instilling value and dignity into the lives of people where it's been lost. And I don't know that I can emphasize enough how important it is for us to consider the way we talk to people, the way we smile at people, the way we extend a handshake. It might be the only thing in that person's day that has resonated with them in a positive way. But all the more reason for us to do the thing that brings positivity into the life of someone else. And so when we're celebrating this event and we're there and we're experiencing the dessert and the ice cream and the conversation around it, we want the women that we're serving in our community to just to feel the sense of what we can do when we come together, because we truly are better together. This community is far better when we pull our resources and our energies and efforts. And it is also an opportunity for us to cast vision for what is next for the Lifehouse. With three emergency shelters, with a transitional home in process, we also have a goal of developing more transitional housing in 2024. And so I want our community to see that we as an organization are not content with where we are, that we're always looking ahead and giving thought to how we can continue to move forward to ensure that more people have access to affordable housing. And we've got to create creative housing solutions to get there. We've got to really come up with some creative, clever ideas to making that a reality.
Well, if you get a chance to go back and listen to the Facebook Live posting we have on WRHI, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was here last night. First words out of his mouth were about the homeless situation.
Wow.
And what California used to be like when he visited it 20, 25 mm-hmm. years ago mm-hmm. versus what it is today.
Yep.
And how that whole movement of homelessness is growing
yes.
in this country. And he says most of the people he talks to are in a pretty same situation mm-hmm. you talk here, affordable housing.
Yeah.
So he has a unique idea. He's found $112 billion mm-hmm. that one of those agents of the Fed, the Federal Reserve, has tucked away somewhere. And he said, if I get in there, I'm going to grab that $112 billion.
Okay.
And it's instantly going to become 3% mortgage money. Mm. And the first people who are going to get it are going to be teachers. Mm. Now, I know I can ask you, yeah, amongst this group of people you've been helping,
yeah,
and those that are on the waiting list, we have stories about teachers right,
oh,
yes, here in our own school system.
Oh, yeah. We have served school district employees. We have served paralegals. We have served women who have master's degrees and women who have PhDs. We have served some of our leaders, I'll just say that, in our tourism industry in this community. We have served and helped. And we don't discriminate on the basis of anyone we serve. So when you come to us, we're going to receive you as you are. We're a low-barrier shelter. No questions asked. Come as you are when you come to this space. But we're going to get to know you. And as we get to know you, we're going to realize, again, that we're far more alike than we are different. And so when we talk about homelessness, we've created a lot of definitions for homelessness based on our perceptions and stereotypes. But the truest definition of homeless is someone who is without a house.
Mm-hmm.
And if we hold that definition for what it really is, I'm going to tell you that there are some incredible people in this community who are without a house, not because they want to be, but because they can't afford one. And so Housing First is a model that's been around for a long time. It's what many people have spent time researching and actually applying. We have some really great cities in our country that are showing an example of what Housing First looks like. I'm kind of now onto this idea of a community first model, where you provide housing, but then you wrap your services around people who are there. Maybe that's just an advocate. Maybe that's just someone who's going to come along and cheerlead and support somebody. Maybe there's some financial resources that are needed, not in terms of providing funding, but it's somebody who's in a financial career who can help with budgeting and money management and help people think about, this is where I am now, but man, I would love to be in a home ownership situation long term.
Sure.
How do I get there? So you wrap services around people to ensure that they're not alone when they transition. And that model, this community first model, is where you see tremendous long term success.
And for all of those of you out there who say, well, this could not happen to me, you are dead wrong. It just takes one little, major incident in your life, loss of a job, loss of a loved one, loss of a child, whatever the case might be, and you could be right in this situation. And go and try to find yourself a house in Rock Hill right now. Entry-level price is in excess of $300,000.
Yeah. Your starting rent's $1,250.
Yeah, $1,250 for apartments. And people getting started, I don't care if you're young and just out of college, mm-hmm, trying to get started at, yeah, $1,300 a month for rent, it's almost impossible.
Yes.
You have to add on to that your taxes. You got to add on.
Three times. You got to bring home three times,
yeah,
that amount.
Exactly.
And when you do the math, that's a $23 an hour position or more, depending on where you start with.
There you go. It is a community-wide issue.
It is.
And the community needs to embrace this and work on it just like we have worked on everything else. Mm-hmm. If we can do a Miracle Park, which, yep, to me is a wonderful, wonderful,
yes,
project, we can solve this problem.
Yes.
Just get the brain power and the heart power behind it, we can make it happen.
Yeah.
Courtney, you're doing a wonderful job. Again, the big ceremony is coming up on the 26th. Is that right?
It's the 24th. And for more information, you can visit our website. It's thelifehousewomenshelter.org. There is a special button that you can click on for all information to how to sponsor and to be involved.
There you go. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, we're going to tell everybody why they should be here at Substation 2, because fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week. Karen is here from down here at Farmers Exchange, and Courtney's here as well. At the count of three, what do we do here? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.